WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Another Friday regular on the program is Brian Summers. He's the aviation business editor for skift.com. Brian is with us this morning via Skype from London, where he is at a big conference there. Brian, since we talked to you last on this program, United Airlines matched the bag fee increase over at JetBlue. So now both airlines are charging a $30 bag fee. This was a conversation we had. What is the latest on this? Where is all of this headed?
Yeah, you asked me last week on this program what I expected to happen if a legacy carrier would match JetBlue, and I think I told you that I wasn't sure, but I thought the possibility would be no. Turned out I was wrong. United did match last week. Funny enough, they matched on Friday of a holiday weekend when they thought nobody was paying attention. But I imagine when people go to the airport in the future, they'll realize that a checked bag is $30 rather than $25. The logical next question, of course, is will other airlines match that? I think you have to assume that the answer is yes. American and Delta don't always do what JetBlue does, but they almost always do what United does. The three big carriers, they all tend to make the same decisions on this. So the only question is when. And there are actually some pretty strict rules on pricing that airlines have to follow. And they're not allowed to really say anything about future pricing. So it'll happen just like it happened with United. One day the bag fee will be $25, and then people will go on the website, and it will be boom. There probably won't be an announcement, and it will be $30. If you bought your tickets already, no need to worry. They'll still honor the old fee. But from whatever date on, that's when it'll be $30 a bag.
So let's game this out in the opposite, though. Let's say nobody follows United's move on this. What would you expect to happen then?
Well, Steve, I do follow this very closely. I'm in London right now at an airline conference. There are 1,000 or more airline people here. And yes, I know that the listeners would love it if American and Delta did not match. But the general belief is that American and Delta will match. I suppose if both airlines didn't, United and JetBlue might walk back the increase. Hard to know.
Yeah. So let's talk about the money involved here. How much does an airline like United expect to gain from upping its bag fees to 30?
To be honest, I don't know the exact numbers. Airlines are racking in billions of dollars a year in bag fee revenue. Clearly going up $5 per bag is going to be a lot of money. One of the other things that I have learned, anybody who has flown recently knows that U.S. airlines are trying very hard to get people to sign up for their credit cards. And the perk of the credit card is that you get a free checked bag. And, you know, there are some airline people out there that say, look, we raised the bag fee to $30, which I think a lot of people realize is quite a bit of money. Maybe more people will sign up for our credit card. Maybe we'll make money that way. So you can't just look at fee revenue itself. I should also say I did interview JetBlue Airways CEO Robin Hayes today. Of course, he started this all. And he said that something that sounds pretty obvious. He said fuel's up 33%. We can't get it all back by raising fares. And we had to do this. So I guess he had to do it.
Let's talk about fares. They haven't been going up as fast as people, I think, would expect them to be going up because of oil. Is that the next place we would see people being hit here, is that with higher fares or no?
We will eventually see higher fares. There's no doubt about that. One of the reasons that you're not seeing higher fares is, first, there generally is a lag, and the lag can be as much as a year between when oil goes up and when airlines are able to pass on the cost of fuel to consumers. So that's one thing. The other thing is that summer fares tend to be pretty high, relatively. That's when the kids are off school. Everybody wants to go on vacation. Everybody wants to travel. Fall, which we're basically in right now, this period after Labor Day, is actually pretty soft for travel. So if airlines were to raise their prices too much, they might have like a lot of empty seats, more empty seats than they've had in a long time. So it's very hard to raise your prices in the fall. I think people will see it over Thanksgiving and Christmas. My guess is that in a lot of markets, they'll notice that prices are a lot higher than they used to pay. But during these shoulder seasons, there's just a limit to how much people are willing to pay.
This dovetails nicely into another story you've written about fees. The title of the story, Why Airlines Should Be More Creative as They Weigh Fee Increases. What do you mean by more creative?
Well, there's one fee in particular that I find a little odd, and it is actually the checked bag fee, right? Because passengers are used to paying different prices for their tickets, depending on when they bought or what they're flying. And there's this crazy thing with the airline industry where a checked bag always costs $25 or in the future $30. And it doesn't matter if you're flying from New York to Chicago or New York to Washington, D.C., or you're flying from New York to Hawaii. And it would seem to me that, you know, on a lot of flights, you could probably charge $12 or $14 or $16 a bag. And on some of the longer ones, especially during the peak season, Christmas time, you might charge more. I think it's just easier to charge $25 or $30 a bag, charge that flat rate. But a lot of people think at some point in the future, you could see the prices of fees vary in the same way that airline tickets vary in price.
Yeah. You know, in your story, you also write about potentially being more creative, like with seat fees or maybe priority boarding fees or a couple of the ideas.
Yeah, you know, there are actually seats on the airplane that are more valuable to people than others. And, you know, there are a lot of people that get upset about having to pay a fee for a seat that used to be free. I get that. But they're getting something of value. Maybe they're getting more legroom. Maybe it's easier to get out. Maybe they're getting a window seat that they want. With checked bags, I don't know. I mean, people check bags because they have to. They don't get much value out of it. I mean, if you take this a little further, you could say, look, I'd actually be willing to pay more to check a bag so it could come out first, right? That's something of value. But just to check a bag, I don't know.
Yeah. One of the other stories you've written about is national airlines. I know we kind of touched on this topic a few weeks ago. Your question was, why do national airlines still exist? Have you found the answer to that?
The answer is very often national pride and nostalgia, and because that's always the way that we've done it. There are a lot of airlines that have been around for 50, 60, 70, 80 years, and nobody wants to see them go. We're seeing this now with Air India. We're seeing with Alitalia, which is this iconic Italian airline that hasn't made money in I don't know how long. And these things, they just keep flying. You know, some folks describe them to me as tools of this diplomacy or flying embassies. And that's all well and good. But, I mean, how long can a government help an airline keep running when that airline can't make money on its own? It doesn't make sense. But there is this idea that you can't be a legitimate country if you don't have your own airline, that it means something. It's not something that we think about much in the United States because we have so many airlines. But if you're a country in Europe or Africa and you're down to one airline, maybe you're going to try to make sure that that airline keeps flying. One of the examples that I used was South African Airways. They're just not a very well-run airline, but they keep flying with massive government subsidies because nobody can think of a world where the national airline doesn't exist.
You write in this that you know, travelers have moved on. They have moved on to other different brands. I guess in a country where there is choice, that's the situation, right?
Yeah, often they have. I mean, we see this in Europe. You know, a lot of countries have held on to their national brands, and that's all well and good. But people in Poland, they might be as likely to fly Ryanair, which is the Irish airline, than their own home airline. They don't worry so much about what a flag is on the airplane. But, you know, decades ago, it was much more important to people. Every country had to have its own flag carrier.
Brian, good stuff. We'll chat with you again next week.
Thank you, Steve.
Brian Summers is aviation business editor for Skift.com. Follow them at Skift on Twitter. And make sure you sign up for their weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report, skift.com/airline. And Brian's a good follow on Twitter as well, at Brian Summers. That's B-R-I-A-N-S-U-M-E-R-S on Twitter.